Hey guys, welcome to the Journey of Ruth Discipleship Podcast, where we encourage listeners to love Jesus, study his word, and reach others. I'm your host, Courtney Lohman. Well, we are here, just you and I today, with another episode in our Discipleship Deep Dive series. There are several throughout the last 2 years, and I thought, okay, right up here at the top, I just want to say, here's where they are so that you know, you can go back and listen to them. We have the difference between mentorship and discipleship, and that's episode 134. We have the five attributes of effective discipleship, and that is episode 128. We have the four characteristics of a fruitful discipler. That's episode 120. The three steps to a productive discipleship session, episode 116. And then way back, we have the play process, finding a Paul, Barnabas, and a Timothy. That's episode 62. So if you put all of those five episodes and then today's episodes together, if you are new to discipleship, this is the perfect way to get started. Dive into these six episodes. And I think when you are done, you'll have a better understanding of what your next steps might look like. So those other five episodes that I mentioned are really helpful when you have someone that you want to disciple, all except maybe the play process, which helps you to find someone to disciple. But I get asked a lot, how can I find someone to disciple? Or how do you even start? How do you know? Do you just go up to someone and ask them? You know, like, how do you know that this person's even interested in discipleship, maybe is open to this? So that's what today's about. Today is about how do you even start to make those connections that can then lead to your ability to use any of the other five episodes in the Discipleship Deep Dive series. Now, here's one thing that I want to say before we head on. You know, Mother's Day is coming up. Graduations are coming up as well. And that means that you're going to be looking for the perfect gift for that grandma, for that mother in your life. And might I suggest that you head over to the Journey of Ruth shop, where we have plenty of options for you as you look at what gifts you're going to give your mom, your grandma, maybe that graduate. We have got our wonderful scripture prints that were done in calligraphy by one of the college girls in our ministry. And she did a beautiful job. So you can purchase one of those and offer that as a gift for them to hang on their new dorm room wall or in that living room where they're redesigning. We also have our journal, our Bible journal for busy women. Maybe you know a mom that's very busy and she's looking to engage with Jesus and with her Bible in this next year. This is a perfect gift to give that busy mom or that busy student. We also have cute, fun things. We've got some really cute macrame keychains. We've got our signature mug there in the shop. So if you're shopping for a Journey of Ruth fan, that's a perfect gift. So let me encourage you to head over to journeyofruth.com, and there you can see right on our homepage how to get to our shop and see all of the great items that we have available that you can give for your Mother's Day gift. So there you go. See, Mother's Day gift shopping done. We're going to give you your first few steps today, done. And you're going to walk away from today being like, man, I've got so many things figured out now. But now let's head into our episode where I'm going to give you three simple steps to start discipling. So before we do any of these, I have a couple things that I want to start with. And the first thing that I'm going to suggest that you always do is to start with prayer right off the bat. I want you to be praying that the Lord is going to open your eyes and give you the opportunity to disciple. If that is within your heart, I believe that God will absolutely answer that prayer, because you are being obedient to his call to go and make disciples that he gives us in Matthew 28. And if you are asking for his heart, asking for him to help you fulfill his command, don't you think he's going to be faithful and do that? About 3 years ago, I really felt like I had an opportunity to be poured into. People were discipling me. And I was like, man, I would really love to have a couple of college girls that God would give me in my life to disciple. I didn't know that that was going to take place about a year and a half later in the form of a full college ministry. My husband and I are a mentor couple in the college ministry at our church, and we are so blessed to open our doors to, you know, a group of them maybe two times a week, and they come and hang out at our house and we get to know them. And sometimes they're just, you know, watching, having a movie day at our house, and we're doing our own things. But we are so blessed to have those college kids in our home and have the ability to mentor and disciple them anytime that they're here. That is a fulfillment of a prayer that I asked God 3 years ago. Of God, I would really like a couple of college girls that I might be able to disciple. And He has really given me this group of girls in which I get to practice everything that I talk to you guys about. Everything. I told a friend recently, I said, I feel like God's like, you've been talking about this for years. You've done it sporadically. And now I'm giving you this chance to literally dive in head first into what it looks like to do it on a grander scale. So this last year has been such a blessing to my husband and I. But that started with prayer. And it continues with prayer. We continue to pray through the ways that we can help these kids out. Because to be honest, discipleship is not always easy. And sometimes they bring up these concepts, these thoughts, these things that are going on in their life. And it's like, gosh, that's heavy. Like, that is more than we can really do on our own. What do we do here? God, please help us to know what to say and when to bring in other people that we love and know. Please, you know, help us know how we can respond and show your love to these students. And then sometimes the students, even in this year and a half, we've had students come in and then they've transitioned out. And we continue to pray for those students. In fact, we let them know, like, hey, catch us up. Like, give us a call every once in a while. Let us know what's going on in your life, because we are continuing to pray for you. So prayer, I think, is really critical. If discipleship is something that you want to do, and you're going, Courtney, I just don't even know where to start. I don't even really know anybody who's younger than me. I don't really know anyone who isn't a Christian. I don't know anyone that that needs Jesus. Then I'm like, great. God wants you to meet those people, and He will put them in your life. So pray that He would put those people in your life, because He will. God is always faithful, and He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. So keep that in mind, prayer first. And then here's my other thing that I suggest before we get to these three simple steps, is that you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Here's what you need to know about discipleship. Discipleship is not about you, but you will grow because of it. It's not about you. It's not about where you're comfortable. It's not about what you're willing to talk about or not. It's not about what you're comfortable with as far as like talking to people about. It's not about you being perfect and saying the right things. It's not even about what you know, because sometimes in discipleship, the Lord will take us beyond what we know so that we have to depend on Him. So it's not about you. Discipleship is a game of sacrifice. Discipleship is about the other person. It's about being in places where they are. It's about being in places where they are comfortable, where they feel good opening up. And that may be a place where it's not super comfortable for you. So are you willing to step out of your comfort zone in order to disciple others? I think that as we step into these three simple steps, if you will keep those two things at the front of your mind, that it's not about you and that you need to be continuing in prayer, I think that you'll see that these next three simple steps are totally doable. They're absolutely doable. So with each step, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, what does this look like if you're pursuing a one-on-one discipleship relationship? But here's the other thing that I think God has really opened up for us that we didn't plan, was our discipleship to our neighbors. And all of us live somewhere. All of us have neighbors. And So what does that look like to reach out to your neighbors? That is your mission field. Where you live is a part of your mission field. Don't ignore your neighbors in order to go and disciple the college kids on, you know, the college campus a couple miles away. Don't ignore your neighbors to go and disciple the young moms at the community center near you. Don't ignore your neighbors and only focus on discipling your colleagues at work. Okay? So I'm going to kind of give examples in each of these steps on how you might do it in your personal life with maybe friends and coworkers or whoever you're really interested in discipling, and then how you might do it with your neighbors right outside your front door. So let's get started. Step one is put yourself in an area of influence. And if you go back to the play process episode, that's actually one of the steps. The L, it's PLAA, and each one of those is a step in finding someone either that you can disciple or finding someone that can disciple you. But the L stands for look. And I ask you to look into your area of influence. Who is it that's already around you that you could be discipling? Now, I have had people come up and say, I tried and I don't know anyone. Like, it's very easy to say, like, I have my group of friends. I work from home, especially now, right? There's a lot of us that have transitioned to working at home. I'm around my kids. I don't even know where I have influence in this world. And so you need to put yourself in an area of influence. So what does that look like? Well, you need to go where the people are. Here's where you have to break out of your comfort zone and go to where they are and put yourself in a place where others might be. And then don't just sit there and wait for them to come to you, right? Be there and then actually engage with the people in those locations. So I'll give you an example. When we were first started mentoring in the college ministry, one of the things that just happened was that on Wednesday nights, I would drop my kids off for Awana at our church, and our church has a coffee shop. And so I started hanging out in the coffee shop, and there were several of the college girls that worked in the coffee shop on Wednesday night. I was supposed to be working. My idea was that I'll come on Wednesday nights and I will be working on stuff for the podcast and getting things up on social media and editing the podcast. And here's what would happen. I know this will shock everybody who knows me and knows how much I talk. I would get in there and I would talk for an hour and a half to these girls. I mean, they'd have to stop talking to me and go fix somebody else's coffee. And then they come back and we'd keep talking. And it was amazing to get to know these girls so well just from that time. Well, then it became where I just stopped trying to work. And that was the reason that I went on Wednesday nights. That's the reason I went to the coffee shop, was to talk with them, see how they were doing. Once again, I put myself in that place because I knew that's where they'd be. And sure, it was easy for me because I'm an extrovert. Okay, so I understand that some of you introverts are like, yeah, that's easier for you, Courtney, to go and talk to, make friends with the barista. I know. But I had to put myself into a place and kind of put my agenda aside because I saw an opening for me to get to know some of these girls. What about you? I don't know. Maybe you are a mom. And part of the group that you'd like to disciple and mentor is other moms. And so you're going to take your kids to one of your local parks where the rest of the moms go. And you're going to not sit there on your phone while your kid is playing. I'm not calling you out. Okay. If that's what you need, that's what you need. But what if you talked to some of the other moms, got to know them? What if you, after a couple times of seeing them there, like made a plan to be there on purpose at the same time? Instead of just, oh, hey, you're here too, cool. What if you like made a point of being there at the same time and you start to get to know one another? You could go and if you work. I know for me, when I was a teacher, sometimes I would just eat my lunch in my office and get work done during lunch because I needed to work through that. But I also knew that there was a lunchroom where there were people to be that were sitting together at lunch. And so that is an opportunity where you can go in and sit with people and get to know them while you're all eating lunch. Share your life, hear about their life, right? So that might be an opportunity in a place where you can get to know your coworkers a little bit better. If you are in a church, another place that you can really find a place to find an area of influence is to put yourself in a Bible study that isn't full of people your own age. I actually love Bible studies with older women than myself. When I first came to our church, I had the choice of like a couple topical Bible studies and then a mom study. And I chose not to go to the mom study because we were already in Sunday school with a lot of those people. So I actually knew people. That was the easier place for me to go. But I went to another study called Open Your Bible. And there are so many things that you see happening right here on the podcast that started in that Bible study with those older women. And let me tell you, I look back on that and I'm like, that was a work of God. Sitting in that Bible study with older women, two of those women that were in that Bible study are now my disciples. I wouldn't have met them if I hadn't put myself into that place. If you have a young mom's Bible study and moms is what you would love to disciple young moms, ask if you can come in, not as the teacher, but just as an older mom. Hey, I'd love to come in and just be there, you know, just get to know these moms, learn how to pray for them. We're going to talk about, you know, like next steps, but I would love to be there and be in a room with these young moms and learn what they need and how they feel they need to be served. So put yourself in a place where you can have influence. If you're looking around going, I don't have any influence around anyone, Courtney. I'm like, great. Here's a list. What about your neighborhood? Your neighborhood. I suggest just be outside your home and be available to your neighbors. My husband is much better at this than I am because I'm home. I always feel like I need to be cleaning something or whatever. And he gets home and he actually prefers to hang out front in the garage. He has his TV out there. He'll have sports games on or whatever, doing some kind of project in the garage. But because of that, we have met so many of our neighbors. The garage door's open. People just show up at the house. and I think it's really easy to like get home and close that garage door before we even get out of the car and never know any of our neighbors. But I think leaving that garage door open on purpose, hanging out in your front yard, not your backyard, is an open opportunity to talk to people. As people are walking by, you begin to see the same people that walk by your house every morning or every evening. Get to know their names. As your neighbors come home, if you don't know their names and they're outside, you know, gardening, or maybe they're just, you know, they've come home from work and they've come out to check the mail, hop over and introduce yourself. Let them know, hey, we're out anytime if you need anything, we're there. If you ever want to come over and talk, we'd love to chat with you. We're here. We have some neighbors that we talk to all the time, some that we talk to occasionally, and some that we know we have met, but they themselves are more introverted and they're like not going to be out every night talking to the rest of the neighbors. And that's okay. But do we know them? Yes. Have we spoken with them and have we, let them know who we are and that we're here if they need anything. Yes. So make yourself available to your neighbors. So that's step one. Step one is put yourself in an area of influence. You have to get out of your comfort zones and get to where the people that you want to reach are. And let me just say, do not wait for them to come to you. I was just talking to someone this last week at a conference that I spoke at, and she said, we found that the younger women didn't feel comfortable coming to talk to the older women. Have you seen that before? And I was like, yes, in my church and in other churches. If you think that you want to minister to high schoolers, or you think that you want to minister to young moms, and you're waiting for them to come find you, they won't. Because in their mind, you don't have time for them. And you're like, but I've never said anything like that. I know. We make it up in our heads. We don't need anyone to tell us that, oh my gosh, she doesn't have time for you. No, we've just gone ahead and done that ourselves. Aren't we so helpful? And the older women are just, some of them are just waiting. They would love to have coffee with you. So hear me, younger women. They would love to have coffee with you. They would love to get to know you. They would love to help you through whatever you're going through. But they're waiting for you to ask. Older women, don't wait for them to ask. In fact, Titus 2:2 instructs the older women to go and disciple the younger women. So go to the places where you can have influence. So that's step number one. Step number two. I want you to listen to the whole thing. Don't turn it off after I say step number two. Step number two says, open up your home or a rhythm. Some of you just went, nope. I don't like people in my home. I don't want to have to clean my home. I'm an introvert. This is my safe space. I don't want people in my safe space. I live with roommates. I don't have a space. My apartment is so tiny. It's like me and one other person. I don't have space. Okay. So listen, don't leave me yet. Okay. So open up your home or a rhythm. Some of you are going, great. I'd love to open up my home. And that's wonderful. Caesar Kalinowski, who was our guest on episode 139, he had a great suggestion for us. And that was to find the rhythms that you are doing that people around you are also doing, and to, let's say, capitalize on those rhythms. So the first one he suggested was eating. Everyone has to eat, right? Usually 3 meals a day. And everyone is going to eat around somewhere at the same time. What if you ate on purpose with somebody else once a week? What if you said, okay, Thursday nights, we are going to open up our home. Any of our neighbors are welcome to come and have dinner with us. And you guys share a meal. You can even set a time on it. Like, we're opening our doors from 5 to 6:30. Come anytime in there. We're going to have dinner. We'd love to have you with us. And he suggested try it for 6 weeks. And see what your relationships are like with your neighbors at the end of 6 weeks after having them in your home once a week. Now, once again, some of you are like, ooh, people in my home. Cool. We're Americans. We love to barbecue, right? Barbecue is meant for outside. So why don't you have a barbecue in your front yard? Say, hey, everybody, we love to open up our front yard for a barbecue every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Bring a lawn chair, bring a side dish. We're going to provide the meat and we're going to provide utensils. And you do this every week for 6 weeks and see how it goes. We have an empty cul-de-sac across the street from us. And what we started doing was like during the summer when it's, you know, later, not during the summer because it's Phoenix here and it's so horribly hot. You don't want to be outside. But I guess it was more like in the spring and the fall when it's nice and cool outside. We have an empty cul-de-sac. We would drag our fire pit over to the middle and we would light a fire. And then we would invite neighbors to come and just talk. We did offer food a couple times. And sometimes we just said, you know, we're just going to be hanging out. We'd love to have you come. The kids would come and we set up cones so that the kids were in a safe area. We would roast marshmallows. And we got to know so many of our neighbors just because we dragged our fire pit into an empty cul-de-sac and said, hey, bring a couple chairs. We'd love to have you come. I think The couple times that we offered food, we split it with another family on our street. But the other times it cost us nothing, nothing. Even the firewood, neighbors, we just have neighbors that like, you know, that have supplies of firewood, I guess. And so we would supply the beginning and then it would start to dwindle down. And then another one of our neighbors would go grab a couple logs from their supply. And then another neighbor would go grab a couple logs from their supply. You know, here in Phoenix, our wood supply lasts a long time. We don't really need that many fires, but I'm getting off base here. But the point was, all we did was say, hey, we're going to be having a fire. We'd love to have you come. So what were we opening up? We were opening up a space for people to meet one another. And people would walk by with their dogs and be like, hey, go drop your dogs. Well, your dogs are welcome to come if you want. But, you know, go grab your husband or your wife and come back. We'd love to talk with you. So opening up a space, and it doesn't have to be inside your home. It can be outside your home. It could be at a location. But opening up the same time, being consistent with it for like 6 weeks and saying, hey, we're just going to hang out. Now, what does that look like one-on-one neighborhood? Well, I gave you a couple examples for the neighborhood for the first time, or I did the neighborhood first this time. So outside your home, if there's an empty cul-de-sac, if there's an empty space, if you live in a cul-de-sac, hey, just meet in the middle of the cul-de-sac, right? And find those places. Find those places that you can meet with your neighbors that's kind of neutral, and you're just getting to know them. One-on-one, it could be as simple as going to the coffee shop that you know that they're going to be at, or saying, I know you guys love this coffee shop. Anyone who wants to meet me Tuesday night, 6 p.m., I'd love to have, you know, coffee and chat with you if that's something you're available to do. Going to your lunchroom and on purpose saying, okay, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I am going to eat lunch in the lunchroom and not work through my lunch break. And I'm going to on purpose engage people in conversation. So being in these locations, wherever it might be, whether it's inviting people to a meal, coffee, being in the lunchroom, inviting people into your front yard or inside your home. We also open up our pool. In the summers, because here we are in Arizona, right? We have more time in the pool than we do around a fire. What does that look like to invite your neighbors or invite your coworkers or that group of people that you want to be serving to one location for 6 weeks? But once again, this has to be intentional, and it might make you a little uncomfortable, and it might be a little bit like, oh, this feels like a lot to plan. Yeah, that's okay. Remember what we're headed towards: building relationships that develop into mentoring or discipling relationships. So that's step two. So step one, we've got put yourself in an area of influence. Step two, find a open up your home or a rhythm where you can ask others to join you. And here's the third step: show them you care. And you're like, that can't be it. No, really, that's it. Show them you care. Listen more than you talk. I probably said this on this podcast, but I'll say it again. I heard a scientific study, which I think, who thinks I'm going to go and do a scientific study on this? But they did a study on blind dates and like how to successfully blind date somebody. I don't know. I want to think that's like a college kid in their social science class. And they're like, you need to create some kind of study and do it. And they're like, I'm going to do a study on blind dates. But here's what they found in this study was that when they polled the individuals that were involved in the blind date, the person that said it went really well and gave it the higher rating was usually the person that talked the most. If you had two people going on a blind date, whoever it was that talked the most was the person who gave it the higher rating. We like to talk, and we like to talk about ourselves. If you think about a blind date, that's what you're doing most of the time. It's like, okay, hey, we're on this one date, and I need to get to know you a little bit to see if I even want to do a second date, right? So you are spending that time getting to know one another. And so that's what we need to be doing. I'm not going to tell you to, you know, go on all these blind dates and you'll find someone to disciple. No, but think of that same thing. Listen more than you talk. Ask questions. Get to know them. But also be willing to be open about your own life. When they ask questions back, be honest with them. When they ask questions, open up. Be willing to open up your own life. And if you're willing to open up, they will open up. And so we need to really be good listeners, good active listeners. There's whole books written about active listening because we're so distracted as a society that we've forgotten how to be good listeners. We've got so many other things popping up in your mind. There's a couple of reels where it's like my brain on any Wednesday afternoon. It's like all of these like sounds and songs and TikTok phrases or whatever popping up in this person's head. And we have to be careful that that's not what's going on in our brain while we're talking with somebody that we're trying to get to know. So we have to be active listeners. Remember what they talked about. Write down things like their birthday, their anniversary. I'm awful at remembering birthdays. If I don't write it down, I won't remember it. My sister-in-law is amazing at remembering dates. And so I have to, if I'm going to remember dates, if the same way that she does, I have to write them down or they will not get remembered. And then somebody's birthday or anniversary passes and I've totally forgotten the date. So write those things down. And the next time you see them, if like the time before you were talking about, you know, this really hard presentation they had at work, or they were studying for an exam that was coming up the next week, ask them about it the next time you see them. So you're now engaging in conversation and showing them, hey, I was listening. I was listening to what you were saying. I was taking it in. I was thinking about it. I was praying for you this week. And I really would love an update on these things that we talked about. I recently heard someone say what was amazing about this group of friends where we kind of mentored each other, or discipled one another. They were like, you know, we talk about the Paul being the person that disciples us. And then Timothy is the person that we are discipling. And then we've got our Barnabas around us. Those are the people that are kind of at the same level as us. And she said what was amazing about this group of like her Barnabas level friends was she was like, I was surprised that they listened to me and that they genuinely cared. She's like, I know it sounds weird, but I never had a group of friends where they actually cared about the good things in my life and the bad things, that they were going to check back in on what was going on in my life, that they, when they said they were going to pray, they were actually going to pray, and that they didn't just say they cared and then acted otherwise. They actually cared. And that is what we want to show to our neighbors and to those people one-on-one that God is putting in our life, is we want to show them, I care. I really care about you. Now that can be done just in conversation, but it can also be done, send cards on their birthday. If you're invited to their kid's birthday party or to their birthday party, go. Even if you're not going to know anyone else there it is. Get out of your comfort zone. It's not about you. It's about them. Go to their birthday party. Because guess what you're going to do when you go to that birthday party? You're going to get to know their best friends. You're going to get to know maybe their parents, maybe their siblings. You're going to get to maybe, especially if this is a person you work with, maybe this is the first time that you're going to get to meet their kids that they talk about so much, or their grandkids. Go and be in social situations that they are inviting you to. That's important, that you go and spend time with them. And sometimes this might even mean throwing parties for them. When you hear something like, well, I'm here in this town and I don't know anyone, my birthday is coming up. And I'm kind of sad because my friends always took me out to dinner, and I just can't make it home for this birthday. Ding! Listen to that and say, I think we'll be going out to dinner for their birthday. Take them out with a couple of people. Maybe it's just a couple of your friends that you love for them to get to know, or maybe they have a couple friends that you are able to call and get connected with, and you guys can all go out and celebrate them. That means a lot to somebody that you heard them say, number one, it's their birthday. Number two, that they're sad because their friends aren't going to be here. And number three, you actually put action to it. So of all of these three steps, I hope that you're looking at it going, that's really not that hard. I know. I wasn't here to like challenge you. That's not the point of today. In fact, the whole point of the discipleship deep dive is to help you kind of look at discipleship in smaller pieces and say, by the end, oh, I can do that. Oh, okay. Now I know what discipleship is, what it looks like to be engaging in it, what it looks like when healthy discipleship is happening, and I have all the tools I need to go out and disciple another person. But if you don't know anyone and you don't have anywhere to start, here's your three steps. Put yourself in a place of influence, a place where you're going to meet somebody, your neighbors, somebody at work, someone at church, someone in your community. Put yourself in that place. That's step one. Step two, open up your home or a rhythm, if you're not too keen on opening up your home. Open up your home or a rhythm so that you can invite people in. And three, when you invite them in, listen to them. Show them you care. Show them you care in the time that you spend with them. And I hope that with these three steps, that you are able to find an individual that you connect with on a deeper level, that you're able to find an individual that is willing to open up to you a little bit, that you can look and say, I can see that they're kind of searching maybe for, they're searching in their spirituality. They're trying to figure out who Jesus is. And I'd love to be the one to help them with that. Or I can see they're struggling with some things in life, and I would love to go and encourage them with that. It doesn't have to be, you know, like we said, it's not a teacher-student relationship, right? Maybe they just really need some encouragement, and you get to be that person to love them. I can see that this person is really lonely. They're new to this area. I had no idea, but now I realize that they have no family or friends. And how blessed am I to get to provide a community for them by introducing them to our other neighbors and by being a place where they can come when they're feeling lonely. They can show up at my front door and know that I'm going to answer with a smile because we've built that relationship. So I hope that you'll take these three simple steps and start to build some of those relationships. And then as they build and you're like, okay, Courtney, what are the next steps? Go to the other five episodes that I mentioned at the beginning and start listening to those as far as what your next steps are. Now, as I said, I hope that you will go over to journeyofruth.com and check out our Journey of Ruth shop, where you can find the perfect Mother's Day gift and graduation gifts that you can pick those up. Check that off of your to-do list. And of course, while you're there, you can check out some of the other episodes in the Discipleship Deep Dive series. I, in fact, in the show notes for this episode, will include links to the other five episodes in the series, so it's really easy for you to find. Of course, as you go over there, you will find our shop, our show notes. If you would like me to come and speak at your church, maybe even come in and do our Building Bold Discipleship Disciples training program with your women's ministry. I'd love to talk with you. And that is on our website is where you can find information to contact me about that. As you go, I ask that you share this episode with your friends, review us on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe over on YouTube. This helps spread the news, the show to places where I can't be because they're your friends. They're people that know you. They're people in your areas of influence, right? And so I hope that you will share the show with people in your area of influence. And then when you like and subscribe, that actually helps the show get to places that neither you or I have ever been. So I hope that you will do that for us. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on Tuesday in 2 weeks right here on the Journey of Ruth podcast.